Vegas right now, and a huge, the biggest penalty kill of the San Jose Sharks here.
And up the middle, a pass for Hertl. Tomas Hertl shorthanded, shoots, and scores! Tomas Hertl hits the jackpot with a shorthanded goal!
I don't like the shootout in the NHL. I had no problem with ties and accumulating points. I like sudden death. That's why I want to punch the NHL. I mean, it's game six. You're in overtime. That means one team is playing sudden death. Not for the game, not a game that they die for, but for the season hanging in the balance. Then suddenly, the official puts his arm up and calls a penalty on San Jose in double overtime. The light is lit. That's the first time in the history of the NHL that a sudden death overtime playoff game has been settled by a shorthanded goal in past single overtime.
It's one
historic.
It's one of only like seven or eight just shorthanded playoff goals in overtime. Let alone, I mean,
well, it's got to be murder in the second degree to draw a penalty, mostly in OT.
Really? Oh man,
that's awesome.
Just horrible for my heart rate. But I was so happy they won, and then I realized going into Game 7 that my heart rate is just going to be that high for an extra 3 hours.
Yeah, every shift, every shot on goal, every power play. Yowza, yikes. All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, as if anybody's calling.
A couple people have.
Just to say hello. Hello.
They've just been making sure that we're still here.
Good God, y'all. All right, let's wrap crunch time. And just for the decent folk out there, it's a little something we call the Richter scale.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Dr. Nick.
Welcome to the Richter Scale. It's how we end crunch time every Monday, talking about the weekend that was, with the biggest and best storylines from the weekend. Steve rates how big of an impact it had, and we begin while most of America is watching the second episode of the final season of Game of Thrones. The Oregon Trailblazers were shutting down Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder, taking a dominant, never-before-blown lead in the NBA history, especially involving the OKC Thunder 3-1 series lead. In all three wins, the Zers have held the Thunder under 100 points, thanks in large part to Russell Westbrook continuing to shoot the three, despite shooting 7 of 23 from deep so far this series. Damian Lamonte, Ollie Lillard is thriving. Westbrook has been playing more like Westbrick, and the Zers can close out the series at home on Thursday. How fun is it watching Russ struggle and Dame thrive?
You know, I've been a Westbrook fan, but this whole next question and the pouting and the petulant childish attitude, I still love the way he plays because he busts ass 24/7, 365. But for this series in particular, I'm totally willing to sell him downstream. So that's a 10.
Right. It finally happened. The NHL playoffs continue their ruthless tear against the top seeds in the NHL as the Calgary Flames were taken down 4-1 by the 8th-seeded Colorado Avalanche. Very much like the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Flames took a big lead in Game 1, which Calgary held on to, but then they were outscored 7-17, including two overtime losses. While Tampa was completely outclassed, Calgary had plenty of fight, and things could have gone better in those OT games. Lord Stanley is a revenge-filled Lord, and he takes no prisoners. And meanwhile, in the NBA playoffs, no lower seed is looking like they're going to even move on, and it's pretty boring, right? How good is this for the NHL that they've lost their two best teams while the top seeds in the NBA are dominating?
How good is it for the NBA?
The NHL.
Oh, that's good that their top two seats are out right. And it's wide open.
It's like chaos is really fun, but also you want to see the good teams move on, right?
I think in the NHL it's different. Hockey fans are hockey fans. I don't think anybody's looking for history. If their team is in it, they want it to win. You want to see compelling hockey. You want to see the Poeltl goal and double overtime shorthanded. I don't really think it matters if the best teams are in it, because especially in the NHL, I mean, a 93-94 win team is really good. So I'm going to split the difference, call it a five.
All right. Since we're probably not going to get it in the NBA this round, we do get at least two of the best game in sports, Game 7. Toronto is now Canada's only remaining hope of winning a Stanley Cup this year, going back and forth with Boston, winning every other game as the Bruins staved off elimination, winning 4-2 on the road for Game 7 at home in Boston. In the West, my Sharks battled back from 3-1 down to tie the series thanks to an incredible performance from Martin Jones and the shorthanded game winner from Tomas Hertl. We could be seeing a Game 7 as well from Dallas, Nashville, and Washington, Carolina if Dallas and Washington don't close out their series tonight. How great are Game 7s?
It's why we watched the MLB, the NBA, and the NHL. It's everything on the line. You played an entire season. Somebody won Game 6 to force it, and you could be better, but what if your star tweaks his knee? Nothing permanent, just keeps him out for a half. It could all come tumbling down. That's an easy 10.
Absolutely. To baseball now, where the New York Yankees have put quite the squad together. On the DL, Stanton, Sanchez, Judge, Betances, Tulowitzki, Aaron Hicks, Luis Severino, and other MLB high-quality players have joined together on the DL, and soon with the Yankees' double and triple-A affiliates that are going to be the talk of the town in Scranton and Trenton in a couple months. This DL team could very well win the AL East, and even though the actual Yankees are only 2.5 games back of the Rays, it is quite a problem that the Bronx Bombers have been this injury-plagued. How worried should the Yankees be? How worried are you, Steve, about the Yankees?
Clint Frazier is batting cleanup tonight. You would have had him I don't even know who some of these people are. Voit is hitting second. He's not a move along the runners kind of hitter. This is crazy. The dude who's DHing, his last name is Ford. I had to do a quadruple lookup. Mike Ford, who's listening to, he's listed as a utility player. How concerned am I? 9. They could last, a weekend series, but my goodness gracious, this is crazy.
Last one, it was the biggest day of the year in Eugene on the Saturday, the 20th of April. Also happening was the Oregon Spring Game. 35,000 Duck fans filled up Austin to watch the first edition of the 2019 Ducks. Freshmen that enrolled early had a lot of their big moments. Kayvon Thibodeau had a sack as well. Tyler Shuck showed off his big arm, and transfer Juwan Johnson showed exactly how his 6'4" frame is going to be used in the red zone at the goal line, catching no less than 1 million. In corner fades. How much stock are you taking from Oregon's 50th consecutive spring game victory?
How much stock am I taking? What am I making of it? Fun scale, 10. Filling up the shelves, food for Lane County, 10. What it actually means, I have no idea. That's like a perfect pending because, yeah, the quarterback play of Tyler Shuck, wearing a red jersey, which says, if you go near me, you're going to be shot on sight. Getting to see guys like Micah Pittman and the new kid from Penn State was really fun. But what it actually means, right now I'm going to stick with about a 4, a hopeful 4.